Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you to Namibia and France for their work this year. I'm honored to take the floor on behalf of the Gender and Diversity Working Group, which includes representatives from the Colombian Campaign to Ban Landmines, Dan Church Aid, Danish Refugee Council, the Geneva International Center for Humanitarian Demining, the HALO Trust, Humanity and Inclusion, the International Campaign to Ban Landmines Cluster Munition Coalition, Mines Advisory Group, the Mine Action Review, Norwegian People's Aid, SALAC, and my own organization, Mines Action Canada. As civil society organizations committed to inclusive and effective mine action, we are pleased to see some progress being made on the implementation of the gender and diversity provisions in the Lausanne Action Plan 1 year after adoption. We welcome the interest in this topic as demonstrated by the debate today, and we've appreciated hearing from the majority of states that are very supportive of this work. We commend the gender focal points for their work on the draft terms of reference for these new roles. And we hope that the position will be used to request additional information on gender and diversity from states' parties. Requesting additional information is very important, as we are seeing very few affected states with survey and clearance work plans, to say, which include gender and diversity. Only 7 states' parties collected and analyzed data disaggregated by gender, age, and disability to assess the needs of cluster munition victims, and only 13 states' parties reported on gender mainstreaming this year. However, we also understand that a lack of reporting does not mean a lack of action. We encourage all states' parties to integrate gender and an intersectional approach to diversity into their strategies, work plans, and reporting, as these considerations are essential to all aspects of mine action. Now, we'd like to address the questions posed by the presidency in the 10 MSP progress report. States' parties should improve reporting on the Lausanne Action Plan with regards to gender mainstreaming by including information on gender and diversity across all sections of their annual Article 7 report. Reporting is a crucial obligation of the Convention and is very important to ensuring we can effectively and accurately assess the implementation of the Lausanne Action Plan. We stand ready to engage with the Presidency and Coordination Committee over the next year to further strengthen this work. Engagement in convention meetings should reflect the diversity of our communities. Meaningful participation of women in these forums continues to be disappointingly low. Many members of the working group have taken concrete actions to improve the participation of women and diverse people in meetings and the work of the convention more broadly. For example, many organizations have strong parental leave policies, enabling equal opportunities for men and women to take sufficient time off to care for their children. Some have childcare policies, which equally allow women and men to return to their jobs after having children. Since care responsibilities are often a major barrier to women's participation in the workforce, especially for jobs that require travel, such as attending convention meetings, recognizing the importance of care work and offering flexible solutions to parents can help reduce gender inequality in the workforce and in the meeting room. Funding is also a barrier which should continue to be addressed through the sponsorship program for states and through funding for civil society organizations to ensure diverse voices are present and actively participating in the meetings. Another barrier to diversifying convention meetings is the perception of who belongs in this room and sitting behind this microphone. In our field, expertise does not always have a security background or multiple degrees in international relations, or wear a suit or speak fluent English. But too often, these criteria are used to determine who attends convention meetings. One way to increase diverse participation in the convention meetings is to consider all other sources of expertise, such as inviting and consulting with representatives from women survivor networks or underrepresented groups to attend the convention alongside or in lieu of the usual attendees. This week, Mines Action Canada, with the support from donors, has sponsored 22 young people involved in mine action from over a dozen countries to attend this meeting. To bring these mine action fellows here required not just sponsorship, including airfare, accommodation, and per diems, but also support obtaining visas, help with registration, and for those who do not speak one of the UN languages, an interpreter. Then, as we prepared for this meeting and throughout this week, we've had training sessions, including the one they are at right now, and mentoring to ensure that everyone felt they belonged in the room, because they do. If we want greater, meaningful participation of women, survivors, youth, and other underrepresented groups in convention meetings, we must think beyond financial sponsorship. Finally, we would like to thank the presidencies of the Convention on Cluster Munitions and the Mine Ban Treaty for co-sponsoring our workshop on best practices and lessons learned from practical mainstreaming of gender and diversity in mine action. The workshop's success demonstrated the importance of ongoing dialogue and learning on this topic. As the Gender and Diversity Working Group, we remain committed to promoting diverse participation and gender and diversity mainstreaming in all areas of the convention. Thank you.